This is the Homer Hour, and John Anderson of ESPN is off doing whatever he... No, he's on assignment. That's what we do. So the Homer Show is actually the Homer, and I want to talk to Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to tell me everything about the Milwaukee Brewers, because I really don't know that much other than I want to see Cheerios thrown on the field one day when Cheerio does the first of something special. Aside from that, it's all up to you, Todd. Good evening, and what do you want to lead with to tell people that's most important about this team?
Homer, first of all, good to talk to you again. It's been a while. Always a pleasure to be on with my close, longtime personal friend here. As far as the team goes, I mean, man, it's a very wide-ranging and open subject here. I think Cheerio is a great place to start. I mean, you know, you talk about storylines this season and exciting things about the Brewers, things that have not happened ever in franchise history, really. This is a kid that's played six games above the Double-A level, and all of a sudden he's on the opening day roster, very likely to be starting in center field on opening day at Citi Field when the Brewers take on the Mets in a few days. And a kid that's making record-setting money. It's really incredible. And I count me among the cynics. I will fully admit I went into spring training expecting Jackson Cheerio to struggle and to be sent down before the start of the season to get a little bit more experience, get a few more at-bats under his belt before he gets the call-up. And lo and behold, he leads the team in at-bats, leads the team in hits, runs scored. There's not been a lot of pop out of his bat, not a lot of slug, but I think that will come in time. This is a young kid who's maturing physically. So a lot to like with this young man. Looks like he's got the mental makeup, too. He's got a good approach. He's a good kid, you know, trying to learn some English. So to me, that's one of the real very intriguing storylines that we're going to be following all season long and for – his sake and the Brewers' sake, I hope it goes well, but there probably will be some ups and downs along the way.
Based on what you just said, I'm thinking, and I think everybody, when they hear, read what you say, will go, that's Robin Young. He's not a choice, but he's a kid, and you're giving this all kind of money. Doesn't that mean you think he's a potential Hall of Fame player? So, yeah, we got the new Robin Young. How wrong is that?
I would say it's wrong on a number of levels. I guess, you know, I'm old enough to have grown up in the Robin Yount era. You know, I was very young when he first came into the major leagues. I know I realized he was a teenager, you know, kind of battled through some tough years early on in his career and eventually became a two-time MVP and then a Hall of Famer. It'd be interesting to see what Robin Yount would do in today's day and age, in today's game, facing guys who are, you know, if you're not throwing 97, 98 miles an hour, there's something wrong with you in baseball. I mean, the stuff is just so much nastier. The pitching is just so much better across the board. It's just a different game all the way around. And I don't say that to diminish Robin Yount or his accomplishments at all. Obviously, tremendous player, one of the best of all time. But again, you know, we're talking four decades plus. Difference here, and things change and things move on and things improve and things get better. It's a different game. I think you could say the same thing about a guy that played in the NFL back in the mid-70s or a guy who played in the NBA in the mid-70s and compare it to now. Just a different game. So it's a fun exercise. It's fun to talk about, fun to argue about, but two completely different things in my estimation.
All right, I'll move on then. Who should people compare him to? What should they expect to be fair this season, recognizing with the money the Brewers gave him, they clearly think he's going to be special?
I mean, just two recent examples, guys who I think that, you know, you could point to, or maybe three even. Again, you're putting a lot of pressure on the kid. Look at Ronald Acuna. Look at Julio Rodriguez in Seattle. Look at Juan Soto with the Yankees. You know, those are the guys that were just special, special, special kids from the get-go. It was recognized from a very, very young age, and they just kept hitting mark after mark after mark with each level that they rose. And, yes, there were some ups and downs for some of these guys. But by and large, they are still, you know, very, very young players who have yet to reach their physical primes. who are all either, you know, in the midst of big money contracts already or rapidly approaching those gigantic money contracts. Soto would be that guy in particular. I think the argument could definitely be made that Ronald Acuña is sorely underpaid at this point for his production already. So three big names, three big reputations, obviously, but I think those are the kinds of guys that people who follow Jackson Chourio, who follow prospects, who follow baseball, those are guys, those are kind of the comps that I think that people would be looking at when you're talking about Jackson Chourio.
All right, I want to call him Cheerios. Is that offensive? Has anybody suggested, hey, and then anytime he does anything, they just throw him out on the field? How is that not special? But I don't even know if he knows what Cheerios are. Give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. Is there, what, does it make sense? Is it stupid? It just seems so obvious to me. It's just, whatever.
It's good. It's original. I haven't heard it yet.
All right.
You know, I think most athletes would prefer to be on Wheaties boxes or have Wheaties thrown at them, not Cheerios. But
I agree. But his name's not Wheaties. If his name was Wheaties,
true.
All right. Of his skills, what rank them or what does he do best from the top?
I would say right now it's his bat to ball skills probably, and just the power that he has to all fields for such a young guy who is still physically developing. He's fast. He's really, when you look at him, he's a true five tool player. If you really wanted to pick nits, maybe a 4.5 tool player. I think some would argue that maybe his throwing arm isn't ultra special, but again, this is stuff that I think also can continue to be developed as time goes along. He gets more coaching, refines techniques, that sort of thing. He just has a physicality and a presence about him that you can't teach. It's God-given. It's obviously been worked on. It's been sharpened. It's been refined. It will continue to be refined, and I think where he goes from here is ultimately up to him. He's going to get the absolute best in coaching at the major league level, but he's going to get the absolute, ultimate test as far as the pitching that he's going to be facing on a night-to-night basis, and also, bouncing back from those failures. It's the guys mentally, there's, 30-year-old veterans who've been in the league for, 8-9 years. That's the struggle, right? That's the game, is when you go through, three or four games where you're 0-4, 0-5, you can't let that affect you. For a 20-year-old kid, a kid who literally just turned 20 earlier this month, that's easier said than done. So I think the mental thing is going to continue to be what he has to work on and what we should watch, moving forward. Because the Brewers are going to give him all the support they can give him, but they're also like, hey, here's the keys to the car, young man. Go about it.
All right, last question. How many wins and any players you want to mention? I don't know, best players. You're going to miss the closer for I don't know how long, but last year was about all the new players and whoever you want to mention as the B team compared to Jackson.
All right, well, I'll go on. I'll stick with what I already predicted. I'm on record. I'm calling for 82 and 80. And I realize that may be a little bit over-optimistic, considering that Devin Williams will be out for, a good portion of the first part of the season here. I do believe that the Brewers are going to have to win a different way, for the last several years, how they've been winning ball games. Starting pitching and everything else kind of fell into place. This year, the starting pitching is going to be patchwork. The starting pitching, or the pitching in general, is going to be utilized, I think, like the Brewers did in 2018, 2019. There's going to be a lot of bullpenning involved. There's going to be a lot of moving parts in that rotation, a lot of TBAs and the probables before each game. But what's going to have to carry the day for them is going to be that bullpen. It's going to be a lengthier, more potent offense with Rhys Hoskins and Gary Sanchez in that lineup now. It becomes a more dangerous, more balanced lineup, I think. And then you've got, of course, we can't forget Christian Yelich, who's coming off a resurgent season. You've got some other young, talented guys like Sal Frelick. You've got a guy like Joey Ortiz that the Brewers picked up in the Corbin Burns trade. So there is a lot of young talent on the roster. It's going to be interesting, but it looks like almost half the roster is going to be making its first opening day roster in their careers when you look at it when the final 26 is unveiled on Thursday. And there's also a lot of good talent in the pipeline that is yet to debut. So, you know, if the Brewers do wind up having what some would consider a disappointing year, if they don't make the playoffs, if they don't win the division, I would say don't fret too hard, because there is a lot to be excited about coming up in the next few years with the guys that they do have in the pipeline.
All right, you're kind enough to do this. Lastly, how can people follow everything you do? All the different places where they can follow Todd Rosiak, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and the Brewers. Limit it to 10, please.
Easiest way to do it is just go to jsonline.com. Follow the headers there, the links. You get to our Brewers page, and you'll see everything you need to see, and you know, just the general advertisement for the Journal Sentinel in general. We do a tremendous job with everything else as well, especially sports. So that would be the easiest place to find anything and everything regarding the Brewers and Wisconsin sports.
And there's no limit to your articles. Come on, you don't go on, well, I call it Twitter. You're a Twitter guy? What's your social media approach?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you can jump on Twitter, too. Todd, T-O-D-D underscore Rosiak, R-O-S-I-A-K. You can find me there. Twitter X, whatever the case may be. Very active on there, tweeting out links and all sorts of...
I don't see you as TikTok.
No, not a TikTok guy, not an Instagram guy.
Not yet.
My bandwidth is very limited, Homer. You should be happy I'm at least even on Twitter. I think I actually started Twitter when I was still covering Marquette, like the last couple years of Marquette, which would have been 2010, 2011-ish.
Yeah, you know what a Sweet 16 is like.
Right? Remember my very last Marquette game I ever covered was that Sweet 16 loss to North Carolina in New Jersey. I know some people are still trying to forget that one. It was not very pretty. Jimmy Butler was still around. Jay Crowder. Those were the days, weren't they?
That they were. Appreciate it. We will talk again. Thanks for helping out.
You got it, Homer. Always a pleasure.
Todd Rosiak. I don't know what's next, but it won't be as good. The Homer Hour. It's not next.